Today is the Sabbath. It's a day of rest, but it was also the day of dread. It's a day of worship, but it was also the day of deep despair. Faith died yesterday. The whole earth shook. Hope died yesterday. Everybody fled. Love died yesterday. Darkness covered the sun. Tomorrow, a day of uncertainty. Tomorrow, a forgotten promise. Tomorrow, will the sun still rise? Tomorrow.
It is the day after the crucifixion, the Sabbath day. Jesus of Nazareth is dead. The disciples have scattered and are in hiding, while Mary Magdalene has an unexpected visitor, a Roman centurion who goes by the name of Lucius Veritas. He is looking for Judas Iscariot.
Thank you. Mary? Mary from Magdala.
You killed him. You killed him, how could you? Don't touch me.
I had no choice. I was under orders.
You had a choice. Peter had a choice. Judas had a choice. They all had a choice. And they chose to run, to hide, to betray, and to deny. And you chose to stab him in the heart.
I had no choice. I was under orders.
Are you here to arrest me? Am I to be crucified as well?
No. I'm looking for the one they call Judas Iscariot.
Judas, a backstabbing thief. This is his fault. Is he under arrest?
No. I just need him for questioning.
I don't know where Judas is, and I hope I never see him again.
Wait, what about the disciple called Simon Peter? You must know where he is.
I haven't seen Peter since. I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't know where he is.
I was there. I was there when they crucified him. It was me who ordered the soldiers to nail his hands to the beam. It was me who made them hold him still as those nails were hammered into his feet. I was there. I was there when the earth shook and when the sun refused to shine. It was me who struck the spear into his side. But you have to understand, I had no choice. I was under orders.
What are you doing here? You need to get out of here. John, now.
It's not what you think. I never meant for him to die.
Just get out.
They told me that they only wanted him for questioning. They wanted to know if he was the Messiah.
You mean they wanted to know if he claimed to be the Messiah? You know as well as I do, they never believed him. They were just looking for a way to trap him.
Exactly. Can't you see? It was a chance for Jesus to show them once and for all that he had real power.
What are you talking about? Jesus showed them time and time again, but they refused to listen, just like you.
The only one who saw clearly. The only one who saw the full potential.
Ever since he raised Lazarus, they were all there. They all saw it. Yet they began plotting to kill him. You were there.
If only he had listened to me. If only he had...
If only he had what? Called down 1,000 legions of angels.
Exactly. Now you see. Now you get it. Remember the days when we would throw stones at the Romans from the city walls? We used to dream of the day when we could rise up against them.
Judas. It was just a dream. It was never going to happen.
But Jesus had the power to make it happen. Like you said, with one word he could have called down 1,000 legions of angels.
Just stop!
He turned water to wine, fed more than 5,000 people with what? 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
Judas, I said
he
stop!
He went to Peter's boat and the guy caught so much fish that he never has to work again.
Just stop. With you, it was always about the money, wasn't it? 3 years, Judas. You were with him for 3 years and in all that time you learnt nothing.
I understood that he was supposed to be Messiah. What's the point of a Messiah who can't deliver his people from oppression? Who needs a king who can't save his people from poverty?
Just get out!
King of the Jews. Who needs a king who won't use his power to save his own life?
Is that why you chose to betray him? How much was his life worth to you?
It wasn't about the money.
How much did they pay you?
I gave it back.
So I guess that makes it better, alright? You need to leave. Now.
Fine.
And don't come back here again.
I'll try Peter. At least he knows how to get things done.
What? Peter will actually slaughter you if he sees you. Whatever. You know that, right?
It will save me from doing it myself.
What's that supposed to mean? Don't do anything stupid. Judas!
I've been so full of doubts. My insecurities, they weigh and hold me down. Trying to push forward seems so hard right now. But I know that you are stronger than it all. Look ahead. I can see your way, but I know you'll be there. Reaching out and asking you to hear my prayers. But I know that you are stronger than it all. I've gotta learn to trust you and let you take control. I've gotta learn to trust you, 'cause you see above it all. When the pressures of this life, they weigh upon my fragile soul, I'll remember there's a God who gave his life to make me whole. I'll give you everything. Take all that I am, 'cause I'm surrendering. 'Cause if it's for your glory, it's a greater thing. You are so much stronger than it all. I've gotta learn to trust you, let you take control. I've gotta learn to trust you, 'cause you see above it all. When the pressures of this life, they weigh upon my fragile soul, I'll remember there's a God who gave his life to make me whole. I'll remember there's a God who gave his life to make me whole.
Peter! Peter, a centurion is looking for you.
What? Where? How do you know?
This morning, the centurion came to visit Mary and was asking for you.
When was this?
Mary?
I'm not talking to him.
Mary, you have.
Let it go. Let it go. He denied him to his face 3 times.
You don't understand. I didn't have a choice.
Don't you dare give me that.
They would have arrested me too.
They were asking for witnesses, people who had been with Jesus. You could have stood up for him and you could have told them the truth.
And what is the truth?
That he said that he and the Father are one.
That he said that before Abraham was, I am. That he said that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's exactly what they wanted to hear. Can't you see? They would have used my testimony to accuse him of blasphemy.
So instead, you chose to deny him. You swore that you'd never seen him before. After all that he's done for you, he even warned you about it. You should be ashamed of yourself.
No. I am. I am ashamed. Is that what you want to hear? I am. Now leave me alone.
Mary, that's enough.
You were supposed to be the rock, the one on which he could build a community of the faithful. And you couldn't even, like... Where are you going?
I'm getting out of here.
What about the centurion?
Tell him I've gone fishing.
It's the Sabbath. You can't go fishing.
Don't worry. I don't have anything anywhere.
Peter, 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 you never believe you came to see me today.
A centurion?
No, Judas. Why would a centurion come to see me?
They're looking for me.
Why?
I don't know. Ask Mary.
Wait, Judas came to see you. What for?
Yeah, I don't know. He said that he wants to explain why...
Explain what? Why he's a lying, backstabbing thief and murderer?
Mary, please, we still have to forgive.
Don't.
Peter, he said that he wanted to speak to you.
I have nothing to say to him. If I ever lay eyes on him again, I'll break his neck.
If that's Judas...
Guys, it's the centurion. Quick, go out the back. I'll stall him. Come in, come in.
I recognize you. I'm looking for Simon Peter from Galilee.
Yeah, you just missed him. What's this about?
You were there, weren't you? At the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was you who gave the orders.
I also tried to help him.
Help him how? By ordering your men to crucify
him? Do not forget your place, Galilean. The order to have Jesus of Nazareth crucified came directly from Pontius Pilate. I am the duty centurion for this feast of Passover, and so all executions and deployments fall to me and my legionaries.
Did he tell you and your legionaries what he'd done before you ordered them to crucify him?
I tried to help him. I couldn't bear to see him in so much agony. I gave him the wine and vinegar to drink. It was meant to ease the pain and suffering, but he refused it.
What did he say to you?
Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. I'll never forget those words.
And how is your servant? Is he alive? Is he well?
How dare you judge me for doing my duty? Was it not you and your friends who betrayed him into the hands of Rome?
I'd never betrayed him. You know that.
And yet, you never came to his defense.
Why are you here?
I want to know why.
Why what?
I want to know why you betrayed him, denied him, and left him to die alone.
I didn't betray him. I didn't deny him either. I stood by him to the very end. You saw me there. I heard what you said after you died. You believe, don't you?
I don't have any children. My servant, he's like an adopted son to me. But then he got sick. Really sick. And there was nothing the doctors could do. Each day he just kept getting worse until he couldn't eat, he couldn't see, he couldn't even recognize anyone. But then I heard about this rabbi, this healer, who was going about forgiving sins and healing the blind, the lepers, and those that were paralyzed. Mm-hmm. When I sent my messengers for him, he actually came. I didn't think he would. I'm a Roman centurion. Do you understand? What business does a Jewish rabbi have with a Roman centurion?
You literally met the guy. You know he's more than just a Jewish rabbi.
I believed that he was the Son of God. That's why I need to know why. Why did he have to be betrayed? And why did he have to die like a common criminal?
Only Judas can answer that question. You have to ask him.
Do you know where Judas is? I've been looking for him.
I don't know where he is, but if I see him, I'll make sure to tell you.
My servant is alive and doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Backstabber, murderer. Is that all see? Is that all they see? A liar, a betrayer. It's all her fault. Mary, if it wasn't for her, none of this would have happened. Who in their right mind would put a whole jar of spikenard on someone's feet? Do you know how much a jar of spikenard costs? Jesus put me in charge of the money. Me, not Peter, not John, not James, me. I get accused of being a thief. But what's the point of pouring it all away? Why did he choose to die? He wasn't supposed to die. Why did he choose to die? He could have saved himself. He walked on water for God's sake. He could have come down from that cross any time he wanted. Why did he die? He's dead, and I'll forever be the one to blame. Jesus was right. It would have been better if I'd never been born.
Right? When Judas saw that Jesus of Nazareth had been condemned to death, he was full of remorse and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests. And the elders said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, What is that to us? See it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it's blood money." So they took the council and brought the potter's field as burial place for the strangers.
Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by King David concerning Judas Iscariot, who became a guide to those who betrayed Jesus, even though he was numbered among us and was given a share in this ministry. But a field was bought with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong into it, he burst open in the middle, and it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the field was called the Field of Blood, for it is written in the book of Psalms, "May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it."
Still need reminding, yeah, I know it makes no sense. don't give up on me yet.
Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other woman came to the spices of the tomb, and there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone from the entrance of the tomb and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him." So they went quickly for the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell the other disciples. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in the white, sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet.
They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Because she thought it was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take his body." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'"
Mm-hmm.
alive.
I think she's finally lost it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Grief can do that to people.
No. I touched him. It was real.
Mary. I'm so sorry that you went through that. I really am.
Yeah, having to embalm his body and wrap it up, that must have been awful.
Peter, shut up and listen. Jesus is alive.
He's alive, Peter. He said it so many times. How do we never understand?
What do you mean he's alive? Like his message is alive?
No.
Mary, are you saying what I think you're saying?
Yes, Jesus is alive. I thought he was a gardener at first, but then he spoke to me and my eyes were opened. It was him.
So you're saying that you saw the gardener and you think the gardener is Jesus?
It was Jesus. I saw his hands. I touched his feet. He spoke to me.
That's not even possible. You're like, he's dead, Mary.
Wait, what about the stone? How did you...
It was rolled away when we got there, and there were these men. Well, not really men.
You mean the Roman guards?
No, the Roman guards weren't there when we arrived.
You're not making any sense right now.
Then shut up and listen.
For the last time, we arrived to the tomb to finish embalming the body of Jesus Christ. But the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. There was no body.
And there were these two men there. I think they were actually angels. They were dressed in white, dazzling, radiating white. It was so terrifying.
Anyways, they asked us why we were looking for the living among the dead. And they told us that Jesus had risen.
What?
Don't you remember, Peter? That's why he came to Jerusalem in the first place. He kept saying that he would die and then rise again on the third day.
I always thought it was something terrible. I didn't think he meant it literally.
Like, literally.
Yes, literally. I thought he was I still thought someone might have taken the body, but the other woman left. So that's when I looked around, and that's when I saw him, Jesus. He looked so new.
What do you mean, new?
I don't know how to describe it. He just looked new. Anyway, he told us to come here and tell you.
Wait, what, really?
Yes. Yes. Jesus told us to come here and tell you that he's risen from the dead, just as he said he would.
Mm. And he's probably still there waiting for you.
Wait, we need to go.
So go! Men.
I know, right?
On the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? And why do you have doubts in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is really me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe because of their joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of grilled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and die and will rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in Jerusalem until you have received power from heaven."
Thank you. a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, I'm free and running my way. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Hallelujah, you call out my name, I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah, you bury my past, I'm not going back. Call out my name, I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah, you bury my past, I'm not going back. I wasn't made to be sent in a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
All together.
I was made to be tended in a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made.
Can you believe it? Oh my gosh. It was
Christ of Nazareth.
Oh my gosh, do you believe me now?
It's crazy. Oh my god.
Believe it? Oh my gosh.
Oh my Jesus, he's alive.
Guys.
Don't open the door.
What do you mean don't open the door? It's a Roman centurion.
We'll all get arrested.
It's okay. Guys, calm down, calm down. I'll talk to him. Wait, no. Peter, you go talk to him.
Have you lost your mind?
I am Simon Peter. I understand that you have been looking for me.
I want you all to listen to what I'm about to say very carefully. I'm going to ask all of you a question. And you'll answer me truthfully. Or else have all of your friends here arrested and crucified
at
the end of the day.
Is this guy crazy?
Do you understand me?
I told you we shouldn't have let him in.
Thomas.
Silence! I will ask and you answer me truthfully. Yes?
I will answer you truthfully. Yes.
What did you do with the body of Jesus of Nazareth?
We didn't do anything.
You rolled the stone away and took the body. What have you done with it? Do I need you, Galileo? Perhaps I should have you flogged.
He's alive.
I beg your pardon.
He's alive. Jesus is alive.
Do you take me for a fool?
It's true. I saw him.
All of us have seen him.
What is this? Mass hallucination? Have you all been eating wild mushrooms?
Not at all. In different places and at different times, Jesus has appeared to all of us.
We went to the tomb in the morning to finish embalming the body. But when we got there, it was empty.
There were two angels there. They looked like lightning. They told us he had risen and that we should go back and tell everyone.
It was on our way back that we met Jesus. He was on there, on the road, right there. And he told us to not be afraid.
He appeared to us on the road to Emmaus.
After the crucifixion, we decided to leave Jerusalem. It was just too much for us.
On the way, he was just there walking with us.
We didn't recognize him. He looked so...
new?
Yeah.
Anyway, he explained everything to us, why he had to die and why he had to rise again on the third day.
He explained that all the prophecies of the Messiah had to be fulfilled so that we would know for sure he was the one sent from God.
And then he disappeared, just like that.
We saw his hands, the holes in his hands where he had been nailed. He looked at us and just smiled.
He appeared to us all. I couldn't believe it myself. I touched him, put my fingers through the holes in his hands. He ate fish with us.
Are you okay?
I thought the men had been drinking.
The men?
My soldiers. I posted four of the best Praetorian guards to watch over that tomb. And they just came running into the barracks first thing this morning. Frightened as little girls. They said that there was an earthquake and the two men, angels, that looked like lightning, rolled the stone away and the light radiated out of that tomb with such power that they all fled in terror. I don't understand. I killed him. I killed him. I made sure he was dead.
It wasn't you who killed him. He chose to give up his life for you, for all of us.
I don't understand. If all this time he had the power to just come back to life, why do it? Why go through the pain and suffering of a death by crucifixion?
Everyone has sinned, and everyone owes God a debt that they cannot pay.
And because of this, the whole world stands judged and condemned before God.
But hear this. God loved the world so much that he came in the form of his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from the condemnation of sin.
And on that cross, Jesus took upon the sins of the whole world and died the death that we all deserve, so that we could have his eternal life instead.
I believed it. I believed it when I first met him, when he healed my servant. And when he died on that cross, I just knew that he is the Son of God. Lightning, I saw darkness rush for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven.
I believe in signs and wonders, I have resurrection power. The miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water.
the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father, our God will finish what he started. Yeah, our God will finish what he started. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. He's not dead, he's not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe he's not dead, he's not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe he's not dead, he's not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe he's not dead, he's not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. Testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Absolutely amazing, really, really wonderful. I don't think you realise just how good your acting, it was proper top tier, right? That was top tier, wow! Awesome, really, we bless you, we thank you so much, well done. Go and have a rest and, I don't know, you might want to keep the garbs on, they look quite good on you. You wear them well. Wow, that was epic. It was epic, well done Pastor Mike. For writing that wonderful script. Well done. Really, really good. We've got a few minutes left and I would really love to just pick up on some of the points in that incredible sketch. That was brilliant. I'm sorry, I'm a bit in awe of God, of course, but also in awe of his children because you've just allowed yourselves to be used in such a precious way. Isn't God good? Have you ever felt like Peter? You ever felt like Peter? Hands up. Who finds it comforting to know that the heroes of the faith had a crisis of faith every so often? That they slipped up, made a few mistakes. Yeah, turn to your neighbour and say, yeah, you're not in this alone. You're not in this alone. Yeah. Hallelujah. Maybe you feel like you've let God down. I know that I do. I let God down regularly. And perhaps, though, you're here today and you feel that God has let you down. Perhaps things haven't gone the way you wanted them to go. And I think that that's what we've experienced as we watch this play. We've got a real kind of a tangible flavour and taste of what it must have felt like to be living in that disappointment, in that moment before they really knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, despite what he said, right? Because they wanted God to come and do things the way they wanted God to come and do things. Maybe you're here today and God hasn't been doing things the way you want him to. I just want to say I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad you're here today. Mary continued to do what Mary did, right? I mean, she was brilliant. What an incredible actor as well. Absolutely brilliant. Ah, really good. What I love about her character and what I love about what she does is that she just carries on. She just carries on. And like when we think about Jill and Glenn's marriage, a lot of what they've had to do and what they've been an example is their faithfulness and the carrying on of stuff. Just keep moving, just keep moving. You know, and that's what I saw in the women when they went and they went to dress the body, you know, and it was just incredible to see all of that. And they stayed close, they supported each other, and they did that. They were faithful and they just kept on doing what they knew they should be doing. And she then, and of course the women, are met by the manifest presence of Jesus. And they got to see that because it just kept doing, just kept... Feel free to play. I love it when you play the keys, Kay. It's beautiful. The guys missed out because what they did is they isolated themselves in the disappointment. Things didn't go the way they wanted to, so they isolated themselves. Anyone ever done that? How's that working out for you? Yes, and you know, in the body of Christ, we can do that. When things don't go according to plan, sometimes... The last thing we want to do is be in church. And I don't know why, because this is exactly the place where you should run to, but it's human nature, I suppose, that sometimes we isolate ourselves. And so if that's you today, I'm glad you're here. Would you turn to your neighbour and just say, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Hallelujah. Talking about a 40-year marriage, anyone here at their wedding, if you've been married or perhaps you've attended a wedding, and 1 Corinthians 13 is your verse, right? It's your scripture, yes? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Wow. How's that one panning out in your marriage? I mean, that's a hard one. It's hard, right? Can you imagine all of those things? And I thank God that if we actually read it through the lens, could I have a music stand or something? Would that be all right? Someone grab me one. You know, like if we read it through the lens that I think we're supposed to read that scripture through, for me, it would be 1 John 4:8, where it says, God is love. So then that means that when we go back and revisit that scripture in Corinthians, we can say, God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil. God rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres. We have these pressures to live up to these standards, but when you read it like that, all of a sudden it's God's standard. That's who God is, and I'm just trying to be more like him day by day. Amen. Takes the pressure off. Well, it's God who is patient. Okay, therefore, I'm going to try and be patient. Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can bear that fruit? That's how it goes. Amen? And it doesn't mean that we're out of the picture and that we haven't got responsibilities to line up with these things. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Turn to your neighbour, say, you're getting there. You're getting there. I had this picture, and you know when it describes Jesus as being a doorway of hope in a valley of Achor. You ever heard that scripture? It happens a couple of times in the Bible. It says Jesus is a doorway. You heard that Jesus is the doorway? I wonder how you picture that doorway. I've always pictured it for all these years as being this kind of 3-inch frame, just like our Western doorways. Like this is 3-inch frame. One day I'm not saved, the next day I walk through Jesus and I say, I'm now saved, I've walked through that door, Jesus. I've walked through, and it's almost, I forget that actually, I've walked into Jesus, and for the rest of my life, I am within that door frame. I'm within that doorway. You could say that that doorway is more like a tunnel that leads you all the way from salvation, all the way until you meet him face to face. Should you just close your eyes and imagine that, a tunnel, that when the day when you gave your life to Jesus, you stepped in, through the threshold, and then you felt this deep, deep carpet beneath your bare feet. And that deep carpet represents His grace. And then notice that the walls of this tunnel are made of glass, but it can move. It's almost a bit more like a bubble. And people can see you, and people are watching you. Doorway of hope is like a tunnel that leads you from salvation until you meet Him face to face. This doorway is glory to glory, encounter to encounter. It's carpeted with deep, deep grace. And this tunnel has walls, they're made of glass. The world is watching every step you're taking, wondering how you get this far. That's the doorway, Jesus, that we walk through, and we realize it's actually His love, it's His power, it's His grace that enables us to become more and more like Him. We disciple, we get discipled, and then we bear fruit. I remember in Ireland there was a song, and I could only play one song. I was 19, 18, maybe 17. Yeah, 17, and I turn up to do this campaign out on the streets in Southern Ireland, and somebody has taken it upon themselves to put on the leaflet that we were a singing group, that we were musical, and that we were going to be doing concerts. And so Mark, who was leading it, said, "Does anyone here know how to play an instrument?" And we were all like, "No." "Does anyone here sing?" Like, and we're like, "Not much, no, definitely not for a concert tonight." And he says, "No, it's not for tonight, it's for now on the street, like literally right here in Bangor." And I'm like, "Oh no!" And they bring out a little Casio keyboard, ding, 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 ding. And I thought, there's only one song I know how to play. And it was, "Jesus, lover of my soul." Do you remember that one? "Jesus." I played that for 6 hours, sang the same song for 6 hours. I can still play it now. And it wound up all of the local shopkeepers, even the nuns came out and said, "Do you know any other songs?" And I was like, "No, this is the only one I have." But there's a line in that song that I can't sing anymore. It says, "Jesus, lover of my soul." And then it's this line, "Jesus." But I have let Him go. I've let Him go time and time again, just like Peter, just like Judas, just like John, just like the disciples who didn't want to be standing too close to the cross. You know, just like maybe you. Maybe there's aspects of God that you let go of on a regular basis. Perhaps it's not the whole part of God. Maybe, no, I still believe in Jesus. I like that bit. Maybe it's not that you've let it all go, but there's aspects of God that you let go. And I can't sing that song anymore. I sing, "You will never let me go." And I'm so grateful. I'm 50 now and I've been walking with the Lord for 35 years. And I can sing that with all my heart. But I can't say, "I will never let you go." I want to, but I know me. And I'm like, "Lord, I trust you. I trust your grip way more than I trust my grip." Are you here today and you've lost a bit of a grip? I'm so glad you're here today. Maybe you've just let go of a little aspect of God. Maybe not entirely all of it, but just an aspect of God's nature to accommodate your own plan, your own attitudes, perhaps your own drifting. Maybe it's the only way you can justify your opinion is to deny that aspect of God. Perhaps you've given up on patience. You wanted so long for this thing to happen and to transpire, and in a moment of weakness, you take things into your own hands. Think about Sarah and Abraham. Think about, I don't know, Saul, when Saul couldn't be bothered to wait for the prophet to come, and he burnt the offerings, and it cost them dearly. Maybe there's an aspect of God that you have let go of, but He'll never let you go. He's taken me, where from? From the miry clay. What does He do? He sets my feet apart. Now I know. Just say, "I love you." I love. Just say, "I need you." I need. Though my. I'll never. You'll never let me go, my Savior. Hosanna, save me, Lord, my closest friend. I worship you, till the very end. Are we getting carried away, you know, but perhaps you've grown weary of being kind. Has anyone ever grown weary of being kind? You do stuff for people all the time, but no one does anything for you. Maybe that's you today. I'm so glad you're here. Maybe you've given up on being kind. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Think about Mary. Think about the women going to the tomb. Just keep moving. Just keep moving, doing the faithful thing. Keep showing up. Keep turning up. Oh, that's, I want to celebrate my 40th wedding anniversary like that, that I've kept showing up. Shaq, I'm going to keep showing up. It's easy to show up for you. So easy to love you too. Perhaps the bit of God that you've ignored or denied is the bit that's slow to anger. Perhaps it's like, well, I'm good with all this, but actually there's slow to anger bit. And you find ways to kind of accommodate that in your life. Or perhaps you've denied forgiveness to reign in a situation. Perhaps you're savouring the opportunity to dishonour and keep a precise record of wrongs. Have you got a list? Don't tell anyone. Definitely don't look at your partner or whoever you came with. Have you got a list? Will you let that list go right now in the name of Jesus? Will you let that list go? Just let it go. Let it just burn away. Do whatever you need to do in your imagination. Then ask the Lord, would you grace me for this season as all these lists are burning up in your imagination? Hallelujah. In all these things we deny Christ. In all these things we betray him. We are like Peter. When we even deny that little aspect of who God is in us, we're denying Christ. So it's easy to criticize people, isn't it? It's easy to say, well, I think if I was Peter, actually, do any of us do that? Probably not. It's easy to criticize Peter. It's easy to criticize Judas. But when you consider your own denials and your own betrayals of Christ Jesus, who is living in the inside of you, Peter knew Jesus. He walked with him, he laughed with him, he ate with him. Yet in a moment of fear, exhaustion and great disappointment, he did what we all think we will never do, because I love you, I'll never let you go. That Peter would have sung that song nice and loud and proud. But I bet he couldn't have sung it that day after the cockerel had crowed 3 times. Yet in a moment of fear, hallelujah. Have you found that you have begun to lessen God in your life by omitting some of these beautiful attributes of God? Are you angry? Are you hard-hearted? Are you bitter? Are you less than generous? Well, think about the end of that scripture in 2 Corinthians. It says that God always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. And he always perseveres. He knew that Peter would be the rock. And he also knew he would deny him 3 times. He still has a name for you. He still has a calling for your life. Hallelujah. He's doing that for you right now. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do. After Peter had denied Christ 3 times, Jesus is not filled with disgust. He's not filled with anger. He comes and meets with him on that beach. And what does he say? He says, do you love me? He's quick to forgive. Could you close your eyes for a moment and just maybe there's something that's been really bothering you about your own life. Perhaps there is something that you've drifted into. Perhaps there's some omissions of God's character and quality that are just not manifesting in your life right now. Perhaps you have denied Jesus in more ways than you want to remember. Then as your eyes are closed, I want to tell you that the Lord has his arms wide open to you this morning. There is a Jewish custom called kazaza. You may have heard of it. It is when somebody rebels, somebody denies perhaps their existence or their community, and they wander off. They become a prodigal. And in this old ancient custom, what happens in kazaza is when that that person comes back to the fold, the Jewish men of the community take a clay jar and they break the clay jar at this person, this returning person's feet, and they say, this is our relationship with you. This symbolizes the broken relationship that you've brought upon yourself and have brought upon us. It is not a forgiving moment. It's a horrible, horrible custom. And it's nothing like God the Father, but it's something that kind of just grew over time, and it was something that would often happen. The older men would stand at the city gates and throw down the pot in front of the young man, symbolizing their broken relationship that now exists between them and the community. It meant you're separated and no longer belong. The father was not present and the mother would come and ask for mercy. That was an old custom. Are you happy for the new custom that we enjoy, called grace, called Jesus Christ, called the Savior? This is not the picture painted for us in the parable of the prodigal son. The father, it says, is waiting expectantly for his son to return. It says he lifts up his robes and he outruns the Kazaza tribe, and he comes towards that young son and he embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, puts a robe on his back, and he kills the fatted calf. You are the Lord's jar of clay this morning, and he loves you, and he holds you right now. Would you place yourself in the hands of God right now? I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're going through. You may be here today and you've never become a Christian, but you've been listening and you've been on a journey, and you're thinking that, I'm thinking I would like to walk into this family. I would like to walk into this tunnel. I would like to walk into Christ Jesus and allow him to walk into my life. I'm sensing that that's something that I want to do. You may be here today and you have been really struggling with an aspect of 2 Corinthians because it's just simply not manifesting in your life. Perhaps there's some denials and some betrayals of Jesus that you want to make right today. Well, I want to encourage you to do that right now by his Spirit, by his power, by his grace. Holy Spirit, would you do what only you can do? Hallelujah. Same passage of scripture, it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. Father, you have the surpassing power to be able to make things right. He is the change in us that we're crying out for. It's by his Spirit that we're changed from one degree to another. And in the same chapter, it says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though your outer self is washing away, your inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction, the situations and the challenges you're facing right now, the delayed answer to prayer, the disappointing outcome, the challenging relationships, the financial limitations, this is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. And you might say to me today, Helen, my circumstance isn't light, nor is it momentary. Actually, it's been long and arduous. And I believe, when I look at scripture, that it is light in comparison with the cross of Jesus Christ, who took upon himself all of your sin, all of your burden, all of your pain. I believe it is momentary, though it sounds flippant for me to say it. I know you've been suffering a long time, sister. I know, brother, you've been battling this for a long, long time. But I believe in the light of eternity, it is fleeting and momentary. I'm not belittling your problem. I'm enlarging your God. Enlarge, 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 Lord. Enlarge in their life, I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we come to an end of this beautiful service, and this is how I want to end. You know what? The Bible says, enlarge your tent. Interesting, on this day over 2,000 years ago, Palm Sunday occurred, where the fickle people, Judas, Peter, the disciples, they took their palm leaves and waved them about, praising Jesus for being the King of Kings. Hosanna, the shout of praise. And as Michael said earlier on, it says, save us, we pray, or save us. They were disappointed quickly because they wanted breakthrough and salvation from the Roman rule, from their downtrodden oppression. But Jesus wanted to give them more. God wants to give you more today. I know you've been asking for specifics, but God wants to give you more. He wants to give you more than you could ever ask or imagine. But if it doesn't look like what you want it to look like, will you still love him? Will you still cherish him? Will you still say, I do? He wants to give you today the salvation of your soul. He wants to give you the forgiveness of sins. He wants to give you freedom of the most excellent kind. So it may not be the way you want it, but he will make it work for your good. So they praised him one day, crucified him a few days later. Have you been fickle? Have you changed your mind like the wind? Well, I want to say to you again, God is love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Have you denied aspects of God's nature, perhaps giving your personality, your emotions, your opinions reign over your thoughts and your actions rather than let him have his way? I want to say to you this morning, God is love. Have you denied the existence of Jesus entirely because it doesn't fit with your lifestyle or your choices? I want to say to you this morning, God is love. Spirit of God, would you move through this room right now? Move through this room right now. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, where I haven't been all of the things that you are. But help me, Lord. Help me to move from one degree of glory to another, Lord. I want to reflect your beauty, Lord. I want to sound like you, Jesus. I want to move like you, Lord, yes. Oh, Lord God, would you do a work in me? Would you hone me? Oh, forgive me, Lord, yeah, where I've fallen. Forgive me, Lord, where I haven't stood up for the gospel. Forgive me, Lord, yes, when I haven't done what you've asked me to do. Would you forgive me, Lord, when I've been less than you made me to be? Would you forgive me, Lord, yes, yes. Set my feet upon a rock again. Lord, renew to me the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember the day when you got saved? And you thought, I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I'll go anywhere for you, Lord. And then all of life crept in. Oh, Lord, do what only you can do. So those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who trust in the word will prevail. Those who stand secure in the Father's love will for sure say that he does not fail. He is a good, good Father. He is a good God. Would you like to stand with me in prayer if you're able? If you've given your heart to the Lord today, at some point during this service, you decided, I want in and I want to relinquish my rights to being bitter. I want to relinquish my rights to holding unforgiveness in my heart, maybe for the first time. If that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, would you just put your hand up in the air so we can see it and then take it down again? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put that down. Thank you so much. Anyone else in the room, you just want to make that commitment today for the first time and say, I'm all in. I'm all in. I want to walk with you and talk with you, Jesus. And I want to be honed like a precious diamond in your care. Okay. And for those people who have just put their hand up, Father, we thank you for the day of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we experienced what they're experiencing right now. And so we're going to join in this prayer like it's the first time we ever prayed it. And it's not a magic prayer, but this prayer, it kind of just sets the ball rolling. It gets you, yeah, it gets the momentum going. But God, help them. Dear Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, that he died on a cross for my sin. He provided a way for me to be joined with you, that I can be a child of God, that I can be filled with the Spirit, and I can live better. I can live larger. I can be kinder. Ooh, full of peace. I didn't hear the ooh, full of peace. Ooh, because it is a wonder. So Father, I pray that you would bless this new person who's coming into the kingdom today. And I pray, Lord God, that you would go home. I couldn't even see if it's a man or a woman because there's too many people in front. But God, bless them. And Lord God, help them, Lord Jesus. Those people who today, you know, you just need to make some stuff right because you've been warped in your thinking, you've allowed bitterness to creep in, or you've denied Christ in an aspect of God in your life. Would you just put your hand up and put it back down again? I'm putting two up for me. Yeah, Father, we repent. We just repent that, Father, we have not been able to reflect you as much as we would like to. But Lord, we thank you that you are swift to forgive and that you are slow to anger. And so, Father, we just pray that we would leave this place today having been filled afresh by your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we would go home changed. We would go home changed. And whatever aspect of you we've not seen manifest in our life, we invite it. We invite it. And we ask you, God, by your Spirit, to allow it to be loud in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have to take an offering. Okay, yes, I knew that. Would you like to stay standing? I think that it would be wonderful if these young people would come back, and I would love for them to sing again, because weren't they making such a beautiful sound? And that we have cake. Everyone go, ooh! We have cake because we're celebrating today. If you would like prayer and you would like to talk about anything, not necessarily from this service, but you just need contact, there's some prayer people who can come and join me. Anyone on prayer duty today? Is there anybody willing to pray with me this morning? Just me then. Give me a wave if you are part of the prayer ministry. Yes, thank God. Okay, so if you want prayer, you want to talk to somebody about anything, if you gave your life to Jesus today for the first time, would you come and see us? We would love to pray for you. And be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just turn to your friend before they're getting ready? Would you just turn to the people around you and just check they're okay? Because they might prefer you to pray for them. That's it.